Please listen to the Lord's words. As the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. So I have, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, I have said these things to you so that my love, my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Hear what the Spirit is saying. This morning I invite you to listen for me. Listen with me, not for me, listen with me for what God has to say about living out Jesus' love. For what Jesus has to say to his followers, both long ago and now, about what it is that we're to do. You know, one of the common stereotypes about being people of faith is that being religious means there's a whole lot of rules, right? That there's so many things you have to do, that it's so hard to do everything right. Sometimes there's a stereotype that the journey of faith is always working hard to please God. I think it's an erroneous stereotype, and it's comforted me as I live the life of faith to learn that really what God wants from us is very simple. It's really, really simple. And this is one of the places in the Bible, there are several places, but this is one of the places where we're told what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what it is that God would have us do. And it's simply to love. Having walked for a long time with his followers and coming near the end of his journey, Jesus gathers his closest friends together and says to them simply, Here's what you need to do. Just love. Love others in the way that I have loved you. So you heard me talk with the little children about some ways that they have seen Jesus' love. And in preparing for today, I also had some conversations with the teenagers about ways that they have seen Jesus' love. And I'd like to share some of those things with you, both so that you may remember when you were a teenager, if you're no longer a teenager, and so that you may relate to where the young people among us, both here at the church and in our community, live these days. And perhaps if you're younger than a teenager, so that you may look forward to what it's like to follow Jesus in the years to come. How is it that we do Jesus' love, particularly in our families? We talked with the young people, and one of the ways that they witness receiving the love of Jesus is on a day when you have to stay home sick and someone cares for you. To be tended when you're sick is a way to receive the love of Jesus, and to tend to someone who is sick is a way to share and give the love of Jesus. You know how nice it is when somebody pulls up the covers over you when you're chilled, who brings you water to drink, or in the hospital to get those little chips of ice put in your mouth when you need them. To receive that is to receive Jesus' love, and to be the person who gives it is to share in Jesus' love. One of our other kids said that an important way to receive Jesus' love is simply to back each other up, to let our friends know that they're not alone, to be supportive to those we care for. And then we talked some about how does Jesus' love happen at the church? Thanks be to God that Jesus' love does happen and get shown at the church. And one of our teenage boys said that the church supports me. There was also a story about how when some of our kids play sports, sometimes some of you come and support them, and how appreciated that is. Now, when you're a teenager, school is a big part of your life. You probably spend the most of your waking hours at school, and so school is a pretty important place to be trying to share Jesus' love. It's a place to look for it, because it's there already. Jesus goes there ahead of us. And it's a place to receive the love of Jesus. Now, what are some ways that that might happen for kids in school? In being kind to one another. There are plenty of chances in our schools to be blunt, aggressive, and sharp with one another. But there are also plenty of chances to be kind and caring and gentle. And each of us has a choice every day about how we'll treat the people that we encounter. And when I'm on my game, which is not always, but when I'm on my game, then I can remember that Jesus' love comes to me, everything's okay, and then I can share some of that love of Jesus with some other people. We can help others with their work. Evelyn told me this one, that sometimes we can help others with their schoolwork or help others with the work that they need to do, and that's a simple way to show some love of Jesus, that we can support our friends who are having a bad day. Remember how wonderful it feels to be supported when you're having a bad day? To just know that somebody cares, to receive a kind word. And this is the thing that our young people know and want to remind all of us, that we can, in fact, be kind to one another, that we can help a friend. Somebody else said they go to a school where there are stairwells and lots of kids on the stairs, and if somebody falls on the stairs, we can help them get up. It's reminiscent of the skit that they showed you here, that when somebody falls, we can help them get up. And I wonder if there's a metaphor there too, a picture of people you know who might have stumbled in life, maybe not literally on the stairs, but they've taken a stumble, and there are ways in which we can support them, that we can help them up. Now, if I could, I'd like to tell you one little bit of a story about two kids in our youth group who are friends to each other. Erica and Michaela have been friends since they met in elementary school in a lunch line. Isn't that a perfect place to meet a new friend? In the lunch line at elementary school. And they became friends and hit it off. And over these many years, now they're both in high school, and their friendship has grown. It's grown in ways so that they can remind each other to remember the good advice you gave me last week when you're in a hard place today, or something like that. That they can remember to always have each other's backs. A part of their story is even feeling connected to each other. Have you ever had a friend or maybe someone in your family to whom you felt so connected that sometimes you could almost feel what they felt? And Erica told a story about how sometimes they call each other, like, I could sense that you were feeling down, and so I called you. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but I've had that experience. It's a wonderful feeling of connection, and boy, I sure do wonder if God has something to do with that. Is there some sense in which God has made us to be human and to love one another in ways so that we feel when someone we care for is in pain? Is that a way the Holy Spirit works? I don't know for sure, but I sure have a hunch. It sounds like something God might do. I wonder what you think about that. So it's always nice to hear some stories of where God's love is shared. But I also suspect that there may be places where you can look for the sharing of the love of Jesus in your life. And because today is a day with a little flexibility, I want to invite you to a little flexibility in these couple of moments. And join with me in a little prayer practice. You know, my other day job is that I'm the director at the Heart Path Spirituality Center, where we help people grow their prayer life. Bonnie and Lenny Joe have been together with us there, and we have some great opportunities of just practicing what it's like to share in God's love and to listen for God. One of those practices is called a prayer of examine, and it's a time to examine where God might be at work in our life. It comes to us from a guy named Ignatius, who lived in the 1500s. You know that little rhyme about in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue? So that's about the time Ignatius was born. He lived in that same era, in the same country, and became a follower of Jesus, and eventually founded a group called the Society of Jesus. And one of the things they do is help people grow in prayer. This is a prayer passed down from him through many hands through the years, and it simply involves asking for light and then examining your last 24 hours or so for where God might be at work. So I know that usually during the sermon you listen to somebody stand here and preach and talk, but in these few minutes I'd like you to listen to yourself and listen for God. Simply quiet yourself for a moment. If it helps you, you might look into the candle or close your eyes or stare at the Bible in the pew. Anything that would help you come to stillness and to pray. There'll be a little bit of quiet and a little bit of my voice. And just pray as you can. Don't worry about what you can't not do. Just pray as you can. In this quiet moment, invite some of God's light for this time of prayer. It's lovely to be in God's stillness together. And I invite you to simply look over the last 24 hours or so for any evidence of love or kindness, either that you received or gave. It might be an evidence of love with someone you know and already love. It might be a gesture of kindness or grace with someone you only encountered for a brief moment. And just notice how that feels, an experience of love. And if there wasn't an experience of love with a person, then I invite you to reach out for the experience of love from God that is always available, for God is love. And just enjoy for a moment the remembrance of having received some of Jesus' love through a person or from God. Treasure it like a jewel or like your favorite snack. Or like holding a hand. And simply give thanks to God for this experience of love. It can be as simple as saying, "Thank you, God." And then conclude your prayer by looking forward. Where are you looking for love in the next day or so, today or tomorrow? Pray towards God's love being there. And where might God be having an opportunity for you to share some of the love of Jesus today or tomorrow? And you can leave that with an openness or an intention or a commitment to God as you feel led, as you choose. May all of this talking and praying be in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. Now I invite you to a moment of quiet to reflect on what you've experienced.